The gospel reading comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 5, the first 12 verses. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil falsely against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to this familiar passage. Help us to see what you are saying to your disciples, to your followers, of whom we are but a small part. Open our eyes to your truth, that we might see how you turned the world upside down through such a simple teaching. And give us grace, we pray, in your name. Amen. I tell you what, I love when the UPS guy comes. I was talking with David and Leanne Hadley earlier this week, and we were kind of reflecting on this. I love it when the UPS guy comes, because I want him to come. You see, when the postal service worker, when the letter carrier comes, sometimes I want her to come down the street, because sometimes she brings good mail. But other times, I don't want her to come because she brings the bills. And I don't want those. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy having things that I have to pay bills for, like electricity and telephone service and all this stuff. I enjoy those things. I just don't like paying the bills so much. So when I see the letter carrier come down the mail down the road, I think, you know, this could be a good thing or it could be bad. But when the UPS truck pulls in the driveway, this is something good. I enjoy it because I have ordered something to come to me. It's not somebody asking me for something in return. It's something that I want. Maybe it's a book that I've ordered to go in my library, something that I'm really interested in and I want to read about it. Or maybe it's some kind of a gadget that Tara and I have decided, you know, it would be kind of fun to have. Maybe it's a video game. We, you know, sometimes we'll order a video game online and it'll come through the UPS and we'll play it for a couple of days and then we like those things, but we don't like them all that much. But when it comes, boy, there's a sense of anticipation. There's a sense of expectation, because this is something that will make our lives somehow a little bit better. In the same way that those bills that come through the letter carrier make our lives a little bit worse. I mean, they don't make our lives worse. We have to pay our bills. It's right to pay our bills. But then, you know, we're out of the money. Anyway, when the UPS guy comes, it's a good thing. And when the UPS guy goes down the street and doesn't come into our driveway, my hopes sag a little bit. Like, oh, it could be the thing that I've... Oh, but it's not. He went on past. Because he's going to make somebody else's life a little bit better. You see, I think that's something that our culture has shared in common. Whether you're in the church or not, whether you believe in Christ or you don't, you want your life to be good. We're interested in the good life. We want things to come to us, whether we pay for them or not. We want the video games to come. We want the little gadgets. We want the books. We want the things that we've ordered to come to us. We don't want to have to mess with all those bills that we pay, but we do it anyway. We want things to be good. We want the good life. It's not uncommon for us to want this. It's not unusual. It's not new. People have been seeking after the good life for centuries. You can even go all the way back before Jesus, 400 years, to an ancient Greek philosopher named Aristotle, who wrote lots and lots and lots about the good life. He was interested in ethics and in morality and in justice and in issues that we deal with on an everyday basis. But he dealt with them centuries before even Jesus showed up on the scene. Seeking for the good life is something that people have always been doing and we probably always will. The good life doesn't consist in those things that we get through the UPS truck anyway. And that's kind of what Jesus was saying. This passage from Matthew chapter 5 is the first recorded teaching that Jesus taught in the entire Gospel of Matthew. This is where Matthew begins the teaching ministry of Jesus. Now, if you're beginning the story of what Jesus taught, you probably would begin with something pretty memorable. You would begin with something kind of important, something that would be easy to remember and something that the people would be able to kind of understand. But it's significant that the story begins in Matthew 5 with Jesus going up on the mountain. They call this the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. One book that I've read has called it, instead of that, we're too used to that terminology, the Sermon on the Mount. He calls it the Discourse on Discipleship, which is kind of, what's the word? It starts with the same letters. Alliterative, thank you. It's a nice alliterative phrase, Discourse on Discipleship, but it really gets to the heart of the matter. This passage and the chapters that follow have to do with us, the people who are following Christ. It's not directed toward the crowds. You see, Jesus has already spent time preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news that the kingdom is at hand. He's preached that to the crowds. He's gone around Galilee, up in the northern part of Israel, healing the crowds, casting out demons from the crowds. And some chose to follow him. He goes up onto the mountain, and his disciples, the followers, come to him. And he sits down. That's the traditional rabbinic state of teaching. The teacher is the one who sits. The people are the ones who stand. It's kind of backwards today. In schools, teachers are the ones who stand, and the students sit and sleep. Well, what would it be like if we switched that around, I wonder? I bet the teachers would like it. Anyway, I'm distracting myself. Jesus goes up on the mountain, sits down, and teaches his disciples, not the crowds. This is a message for those who have already chosen to follow him, who have already claimed the promise of the kingdom of God being near. And what he says at the beginning of this discourse are these eight short little phrases, short little beatitudes that we call them. The phrase, the beatitudes, is one that you probably are pretty familiar with. That's the heading above the section, if your Bible has section headings. These are the beatitudes. Blessed are the blah, blessed are the... And we just remember, blessed, 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 blessed. The good life. It's about what the good life is. Jesus is teaching us, 400 years after Aristotle, what the good life is really about. But blessings, you see, blessings are things that we usually think of as coming to us through the UPS or through the mail or whatever, things that make our lives better. But I want to challenge you to think of this well-known passage of Scripture, to think of it a little bit differently. Not so much what's good for us as an end in itself, but what's good in orienting us toward the right things. Putting us in the right direction so that God is foremost in our thinking, so that Christ is at the top of the pyramid and we fit underneath his reign, his lordship, his kingship. The good life consists not so much in what we get, but in how we contribute to the work of the kingdom of God. It starts with the word blessed. We think of blessings as things that are kind of nice for us. But the word blessed is kind of a... maybe it's a little overused. Maybe we've heard it too often for it to really sink in. Other English translations, when it says, blessed are the, they'll say, God blesses those who... are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Or God blesses those who mourn. Okay, that's one way of putting it. Other translations will say things like, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay? Happiness, God blessing you. It's kind of hard to think about that when it says, happy are those who mourn. Happy are you when you are persecuted. That doesn't make sense. The Greek word there is makarios, which is very hard to translate directly into English. Makarios has all of those connotations, and it has an extra one that doesn't usually show up in English. Fortunate. Lucky, maybe. Fortunate are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because they will be filled. Fortunate are those who are persecuted. Fortunate are those who mourn. Jesus is talking about what the good life is. It's what we should strive for. When we see folks who are in these various situations, we should want to be where they are. Jesus is saying, those who are really after what I'm preaching, the kingdom of God, the way that God works, the life that God has called us to, those who follow that will want to be in these kinds of places, because that's what the good life is really about. He's teaching us how to live. But it's not for ourselves. He's teaching us how to live for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the kingdom of God. It sounds like it's focused toward us, but it really is focused toward the Lord. So what does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Fortunate are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is a reality today. This is what we sang in one of our songs earlier this morning. Some people hope for the Lord to return in the future, but I tell you right now, the Lord is reigning today, and he's reigning in me, he's reigning in us. The promise of the Lord's reign is not just a then promise, it is a now. The kingdom of God is already here. That's what Jesus preached. The kingdom of God is at hand, it's already here. So blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They already belong to the kingdom of God. The middle six of these eight so-called Beatitudes are then cast into the future. Blessed are those who mourn. That's a reality. They will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not just hunger and thirst in their stomachs. If this sermon goes too long, all of you might get that way. Right? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. They will be filled. Promises for the good life in a long scope, in a long view. Life might be hard now, Jesus says, but that's not the end of it. You might mourn now. You might hunger and thirst really physically now, but that's not the end of it. You might be persecuted now, but that's not the entirety of the good life. You see, our culture has everything backwards. We think, if I'm feeling good now, then this is the good life. If I've got food to eat, if I've got ice cream to watch the Super Bowl with, this is the good life now. Your best life now. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? There's a book by that name, I think. It's backwards. Robert Schuller is not the guy who wrote that book, but he wrote another one. Robert Schuller is a name that you might recognize as kind of a spiritual figure out there. Back in the 80s, he wrote the book, The Be Happy Attitudes. Be happy. It's all about positive thinking. If your mindset is right, then God will bless you and things will just work out. It's all about right now. That's not what Jesus was preaching. That's not what Jesus was teaching. It's not about being happy now. It's not about getting the video game in the UPS truck delivery. It's not about having ice cream on Super Bowl Sunday, even though those things are all wonderful. I mean, I love them all. It'll be good to do that tonight. The best possible life, the good life that Jesus calls us to endure, is one that sometimes we really must endure. But his teaching is so clear. Blessed, fortunate, happy, to be desired are those people who are in these situations that are not necessarily all that pleasant right now. Happy are those who mourn, as strange as that sounds. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful. How often can we show a lack of mercy to people who are in our debt? Blessed are the merciful. It costs you something to give someone else an ounce of mercy. They will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh Lord, how much we need peacemakers in our world. They will be called sons of God. Sons and daughters, it's inclusive. It's not just men, it's men and women both. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Righteousness, the good life, seeking after what the Lord desires, being persecuted for it, being outcast from society, being told that you're just one of those religious fanatics who thinks you know the right way. Well, we kind of do because we've been taught it. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. When people say mean and terrible and hateful things, insult you and accuse you falsely, not for your sake, not because of how good you are, but for my sake. Remember, that's what it was last week when Jesus was healing. He was healing for his own sake. Blessed are you when you are insulted, when you are persecuted, when you are tried, for Christ's sake. That's the good life. The good life? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't really want to go and endure any kind of persecution. I don't like it when people insult me. I don't like it when people say mean and nasty things about me. I'm sure you don't either. Could it be that the way the good life should exist, the way we should live, is so upside down from the way we're wired to think by the community in which we live, that Jesus has been right all along? Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Not if, but when. Remember, he's talking to those people who have already chosen to follow him. No turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Blessed are you when people insult you and mock you. You, not just the meek or those who hunger, but you. Those early disciples knew what that was like. We don't have many records, many historical records of most of the disciples, but we know that Paul, who wasn't there at the time, but he was very, very young at that time probably, might not even have been born yet, but Paul was persecuted very, very much. We know Peter was persecuted a lot. John, who was there, Peter and John. John was exiled for his faith. He was put on the island of Patmos, where he wrote letters to churches and saw amazing visions. And tradition tells us that several of the other disciples were also persecuted for their faith. They knew what this was. And Matthew includes this teaching at the beginning of what Jesus says to his followers, because the people who are reading it are going to go through the very same things. They're going to be on the outside of what's cool. They're going to be on the outside of what's acceptable. And Matthew wants to encourage these churches, these new believers, that the good life is approved of by the Lord, and it is exactly what they are experiencing. It's not about the best things now. It's not about feeling happy and self-fulfilled. It's about being part of something bigger than ourselves. When I ask people in society today, friends that I know and other folks that I run into, when I ask them, what are you really looking for? What's life really about? What do you yearn for? What I hear a lot is, I want to be connected to something bigger than myself. I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact in society. I don't really care what happens to me. I just want to make some sort of a change. I want the world to be different because I've been around. That's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. The good life, following the Lord, being blessed, being fortunate, is all about following Christ and being part of something bigger than ourselves. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the sake of Christ, because you're part of something bigger than yourself. This is where we find meaning, folks. This is where we find richness and fullness of life. We find it in being connected to Christ, being connected with each other under His lordship, under His headship. Everything makes sense in this strange, nonsensical way. We can find meaning in suffering. We can find meaning in loss. We can find meaning in persecution. Such as it is, I don't know that we here in Central Michigan are persecuted that much. Sometimes we are, but not like some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. But in any case, blessed are you when you are persecuted for what you believe, because you're part of something much larger than yourself. Our message that we share to the world is this message of the Christ who has come into our world, into our lives, to deliver unto us life that makes sense, life that has value and meaning, not because of its intrinsic value to us, but because of how we are drawn into His fellowship, into His nature, made more like Him. He says, "Great is your reward in heaven." That makes the UPS truck pale in comparison, you know? Yesterday's video games, the books I put on the shelf and forgot about 2 years ago. Great is your reward in heaven. I have to be honest with you. I struggle with that. Great is your reward in heaven. Because from my perspective, the way I'm kind of wired internally here, I think I will serve the Lord. I don't really care what the reward is like. If I get into heaven and have a tiny little silver crown that I can put on my head, or a great big huge one that doesn't fit, believe it or not, it doesn't matter to me as long as I'm in the Lord's presence. That's kind of how I approach it. But Jesus says very clearly, great is your reward in heaven when you endure these kinds of things, when you live the real good life. Because it's not just because of what you get. See what he said there? Great is your reward in heaven, because the world treated the prophets who came before you the exact same way. It's not about us. It's about being connected to something so much larger than ourselves. How much of a change could this bring about in our community, in our culture, when young people, especially young people today, are looking for something to be attached to, looking for something to draw meaning into their lives? This is our message. This is what we have to proclaim, and this is what we have to proclaim. The real, honest, good life is one that is connected to Christ. One that finds value in serving Him and in serving Him alone. One that understands the value of being happy, even, in those terrible situations. I think happy is a good translation. A deep, abiding happiness when we mourn. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we hunger. Yes, we are meek. Yes, we are put down. But we have a deep happiness that the world just doesn't make sense of. Jesus preached this, taught this teaching to His disciples up on the mountain, away from the crowds. The crowds would not understand. But we do. Because it forms us, it shapes us, it makes us who we are. People of God, be blessed. Be blessed in all of your circumstances. And take this message to heart. It's not about us. It's about being connected to something much larger than ourselves. We preach unity in the Church of God a lot. And I think we have a lot to learn about what that means. But it's right for us to do so. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks for this teaching that has been preserved for us. We give you thanks for showing us what the life that is good is really all about. And Lord, we pray that you would give us opportunities, as scary as it might be, to put this teaching into action, that you would show us ways in which we can be content, in which we can rejoice, in which we can be glad, even though things around us are not quite so good. Help us to see ourselves in connection to you and in connection to each other and living for purposes beyond just what we experience. We pray that you would unify us as a congregation, that the world might see who you are and that we might come to know you more clearly and that we might grow not for our sake, but for yours, for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the kingdom of God, that we might see people come to know you here. That is our strong desire. Lord, teach us what it means to follow you, and give us grace to follow you in truth and in wholeness and in purity, for we do truly want to see you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. I love to serve my Jesus. He's all the world to me. He helps me bear each burden. He is my victory. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yes.
That's our closing hymn for today. It's in your hymnal number 5 something, 22 I think, but it's also going to be up here on the screen in just a second. If you would stand with me as we sing this. We're just going to sing the first 2 verses of it if you've got the book out. But sing it as a testimony of what the Lord has done in your life. Sing it as an offering to the Lord, promising to serve him each day this week and in the weeks to come. And I'll see if I can... Old strings. There we go.
I love to serve my Jesus, a privilege sublime. My life afresh with beauty bright is sparkling all the time. Mid scenes that are unfading of rapture and of bliss, transported I am soaring in my Savior's righteousness. I love to serve my Jesus, he's all in all to me. He helps me bear each burden, he is my victory. I love to serve my Jesus, the world I do give up. I'll drink with my dear Savior from that bitter, bitter cup. I know that if I suffer with him, I too shall reign. In life and up in glory, bright sweet promise sure I claim. I love to serve my Jesus, he's all in all to me. He helps me bear each burden, he is my victory.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you find comfort in that? I hope you do. That he helps us bear each burden. He is our victory. There is victory in life, and it is to be found in our Lord. There is purpose in life, and it is to be found in our Lord. He helps us bear each burden. Even though the world is against us, even though things go bad, this week when things go bad, because surely they will, rely on the Lord. When things go bad this week, remember that he helps us bear each burden. Remember that this is part of the good life. Remember that things going bad, or even the UPS truck coming down the street so things are maybe a little better. Remember that all of that pales in comparison to being part of God's work. That is what we are called to do. Beyond all of the trifles, beyond all of the things that occupy our thinking, our work is to be about the Lord's business. Look for those opportunities this week, even when things go bad. And come back next week ready to share with each other, share with all of us what the Lord has been doing. That's why we meet, so that we can be reminded that the Lord is good. Go this week in the name of the good Lord who has taught us the good life. And be blessed. Amen.